to run to him. Amen. We're gathering together unto him. If you like turning your scriptures, let's turn to Leviticus 16. And then we'll go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23. Now remember, we're on Revelation 5, so we'll read that in a minute because I want you, but I want you to see something here and try to tie it together and everything. But you know, we sure do appreciate, I was waiting until the sisters all came up and things, but we sure do appreciate all the work's been done around here. Brother Gibby and I cleaned out, and my wife, we got here and cleaned out under the church the other day, and then yesterday we had a good work day. We kind of, everybody got wore out, but I thought maybe the church would be full this morning of people around here in the community because we was all laughing about it. You know, the men was down under the bottom and nobody couldn't see them, and here's the women outside cutting down trees, and I mean big trees, and dragging them off, you know, and the sisters are out there just working like everything. Well, we was all on the bottom. They couldn't see us. Cars running up and down the road looking at, and then here my wife gets on the tractor and starts dragging dirt away from the church to help us out. And we figured maybe there'd be a bunch of men around here at least come in this morning and say, well, we don't want to know what you believe. We want to know how you got them women to work like that, you know. And y'all doing nothing because they couldn't see us doing a thing. The neighbor over here, the man next to us, he was kind of looking around, you know, and he come over and was going to help them a little bit, I think, because he thought it was just women working, and they messed up and told him that the men was under the church. But we had a good time, but we sure do thank everybody and had a good time. We still like another work day, so we'll just have to reschedule and get it to where we can all get together and, you know, and try to finish up under the bottom and all. But we appreciate it. And also now, the Lord willing, Brother Brady from Jamaica will be with us on the 29th. That's the, I believe it's right, 28th, 20th. It's last Sunday of this month. He'll be with us for that, for the Sunday there with us and speaking for us. Leviticus 16, and then we'll go to Leviticus 23. Forgive me, my sinuses are draining this morning and all, but just pray one for another. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Let's just start with the first verse. Read the first 10 verses, then we'll go to Leviticus 23. Leviticus 16, 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron, when they offered before the Lord and died. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh, and shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with the linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments. Therefore shall he wash his flesh in water, and shall put them on. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats of for a sin offering, and one ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, one for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now we all know the story that Brother Branham told us, because we used to think that those two scapegoats, that it used to be taught by churches and, you know, people that those two scapegoats was, one of them was God and the other was the devil. You know. But the prophet says it on page 944, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, page 26, Questions and Answers, book 4. He said both of them represented Christ, because if you had one of them representing God and the other representing the devil, if you killed one and turned the other one loose, you remember the story, they put the blood on one and turned it loose. He said it couldn't represent Satan. The one that was turned loose couldn't represent Satan, see. He said it had to represent God. He said because they killed it, they put the blood on of the one that died on the other and turned it loose. He said that it both represents Christ. He said because if you say it represents the devil, one of them, and I've heard people in this message after Brother Branham said it still say that, but the prophet said if you've done that, he said you're sacrificing to the devil.
Right.
You know, if you put the blood on one and turned it loose and let it go, you're sacrificing to the devil. Now that's his way of saying it, you know. So then both scapegoats represents Jesus Christ. But now this is the killing of the atonement, okay?
Right.
Now let's go over to Leviticus 23. Yeah. Now then this is another time. Now if you want to read these, this is page 36 through about 40 of the Feast of the Trumpets where the prophet said Leviticus 16 is the killing of the atonement. He said in Leviticus 23 is a mourning for the kill. He said it's not a re-killing. He said it's a mourning for the kill. He said like in that Moses struck the rock, see, he was told to speak to it.
Right.
Well, see, in this, then you have a different thing. Now, that's what I want you to see. I want you to see Leviticus 16 is the atonement. Speaking of Calvary, Jesus Christ dying. All right? Then now we're going to get to another atonement. But it's not a re-killing.
Right.
See? It's just a return to the original atonement.
Right.
See? So now let's read Leviticus 23:23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall ye have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, and holy convocation. And ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, also on the tenth day of this seventh month, there shall be a day of atonement, it shall be an holy convocation unto you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord, and you shall do no work in that same day, for it is a day of atonement to make an atonement for you before the Lord your God. Now just remember what I'm wanting you to look at now. Leviticus 16 is the killing of the atonement. That's Calvary. All right. Leviticus 23 is under the Feast of the Trumpets to the Jews. And it's not a re-killing. It's a return to the original atonement.
Amen.
Not killing again, see, because you don't have that.
Right.
See, Moses messed up smiting the rock because it wasn't supposed to have been that way.
Right.
It wasn't supposed to have been that the word had to die and go down and come back out again. But when Moses smoked that rock, it set up a type that didn't work.
Right.
All right. So now Leviticus 16 is the mourning for the kill. Leviticus 23 is a mourning for when the children of Israel see that same revelation of that atonement. And the prophet said in the Feast of the Trumpets, he said, then it'll be no more chickens and animals and things like that. He said, it'll be back to the original atonement. Now, back to the original atonement. So mark that in your mind now, what our thought is. That's two different things separated by 2,000 years. But yet it's speaking of an atonement.
Right.
See, then the first one's an atonement. The second one is a revelation, a revealing of the atonement. All right? Now keep that in your mind. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word, and we ask you now that you just bless it and bless us together in you, Father. Forgive our sins. Bless those that are not here with us. And just remember, Lord, we're human and we have needs. Lord, our needs this day are laying before the altar. We've read the request and given in, Lord, of the people and different things, Lord, and we've prayed and we believe you. Now come and make it manifest in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you'd like to turn to Revelation 5, we'll read it. But now I want you to think on that now. We're going to talk about our day. This is message number 8, matching pieces. We're going to talk about our day. Now, I'm trying to bring this down to get you to see what I've been driving at with this message, and I don't know if I can. I'll just see how far it goes today. If I don't, I may try to finish it Wednesday. But I want you to see it. You know, I want you to see something from it of what I've been talking about now. Now watch what it says in Revelations 5. Now, Revelations 5, it says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed." Now listen, the prophet said in the seal book, he said that means wrestle with and overcome. And he said he done that in the garden and then going to Calvary. All right. Now watch it. "To open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Now, see, I want you to think about what I'm trying to say now. I know that Calvary is where the sin debt was paid. All right? Now, I know that. So don't misunderstand me. And if you hear me on tape or something like that, I speak in terms sometimes that maybe I know and understand. It's hard to understand. I don't mean that I'm that great intellectual. I just say what I say, and it's hard to understand because I'm just plain, and I don't hide nothing from you. Because I remember the prophet saying one time, he said, if you soft soap something to the people, he said, you know, they think you're trying to pull something over on them. Well, I never do that. I just always say what I believe. And Brother Daisley even remarked about that to Brother Theo the other day. He said, now, Brother Dale will tell you just the way he is. And, you know, well, that's what I want everybody to be. I want you to be that way with me. It doesn't bother me for you to just say, Brother Dale, I don't agree with you. That doesn't bother me. What bothers me is when you don't agree with me and won't let me know, because I'm not a prophet to be able to read your mind. Right? You know, I want you to tell me if you differ with me. That way we can work out the things that are there, you know. And we can see, maybe I'm not saying what you think I am. Maybe you're not saying what I think you are. So if we'll talk, at least we can, you know, understand each other and do better. But now, I want you to look at something. The Old Testament gave birth to the Lamb that we read of in Revelation 5. All right? Now, it gave birth to Jesus Christ. Okay? Then in Jesus Christ was the very God Himself come down to man, you know, created a body, become the kinsman redeemer. You know, died at Calvary to pay our sin debt. So He become kinfolks to us. That's why He was the Son of Man. The prophet I was listening to him the other day on the Mighty God Unveiled before, he said He died the Son of Man. He said He rose the Son of God to come and live in the church. Alright? But see, in the last days we're promised a return to the Son of Man. Which is, to me, is not different things of God. It's the same God being revealed. It's just where He's being revealed. Now I want you to look at something, or just put our day on it for a title, because I want you to see our day. Our day, where we're living at. The prophet said, recognizing your day and its message. Well, we've had the message. We recognize by the message, you know, the prophet's message. We see smoking going out of existence because the prophet said it'd come a time it'd be against the law to smoke. We see the Berlin Wall go down. We see all that. We see Russia gone because the prophet said it. Right? So we're recognizing our day in this message. If you took these books to people and said, look, just read this. Man said this in 60 or 50 or, you know, whatever. So here he said, they'd have to admit that God was with the man. Right? Anybody would, because of what he said. But now he brought a message to the bride, not to just, the message to the bride is what destroys Russia.
Right.
Because it's a message to us. All right, now he's bringing us a message. Why? Because at Calvary, he paid the sin debt to become in relationship.
Right.
Now you understand it? He come in relationship to you and I. He become man. that he might die, that man might live. Right? So he become one of us, see, to pay the sin debt. And that's what Calvary done. He paid the price for our sins at Calvary. You know, he paid the whole price. I wrote in here, he said, redemption in full was paid for at Calvary.
Amen.
All right? Now, sure, we know that Moses smoked the rock instead of speaking to it. And the prophet said he broke every type in the Bible. And he said he set up a denomination. Now, that's what he said. He said, in showing then, the word would have to be smitten again. Now, we know Jesus Christ was the word and was smitten at Calvary. When Moses smote that rock, see, it showed the weakness of his understanding, and it set up a type that would come in the last days that the word would have to be put out of the church. Is that right?
Amen.
Now, is that what Moses done? He set up an example that something would happen in the last days, and we find in Revelation there when it comes to the Laodicean age that he's outside the door knocking, trying to get back into his own church, because now they want God there this morning to heal their sick. They want God to make them feel good and to give them, you know, different things and heal them and feed them and different. They want all of that, just like they wanted it when they was here on the earth, you know. They went after the fishes and loaves while he was here. But they don't want the word. See, the word is what's put out.
Right.
Not, they don't want to get rid of the Holy Spirit. There's no church in the world that wants to get rid of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
But they put the word out, showing that Moses smote that rock, and now they've put the word out of the church because, see, it set up a type that had to be fulfilled. Because when a prophet does things in the Bible, it don't matter if it's something of his own doings. It's still, as long as he's within the bounds of his prophet and his ministry, it does something. I don't understand how come Brother Branham, when he got over in Africa, he turned around to them people and wanted to go one way and they wanted him to go another one. And they told him, said, we won't support you, in other words, if you don't go. He turned around and he pulled some leaves off of a tree. And he threw it down at their feet, and he said, now the blood of them people be on your hands. You remember him telling?
Right.
And he turned around and got sick.
Right.
Stayed sick the whole time. But yet God come down and done great miracles, great signs, great wonders was done. Many, many hundreds of thousands of converts to Jesus Christ. But see, he was out of the will of the Lord. You understand? But still he was a prophet. Still God honored it because he was a prophet. But now get what I'm saying. Now see, Calvary is where the price was paid. We don't have a second crucifixion like people taught in the message, you know, years ago. That's by the organized religions of the world. That's by the independents and things who's put the word out. Sure, they've crucified the effects of the word. But Brother Branham didn't die on Amarillo Road for my sins, nor to pay any debt for me.
Right.
There wasn't no second crucifixion that way. That's junk.
Amen.
See, but now listen, what I want you to see is I'm trying to drive it hard and fast. I got a long ways to go. And I want you to understand and listen with me. See, everything wasn't made manifest at Calvary, right?
That's right.
Now, when Jesus Christ died at Calvary, he paid the debt for everything.
Right.
He redeemed everything. He redeemed man. He redeemed our souls.
Right.
He redeemed our bodies. He redeemed the world.
Right.
He redeemed every person would ever be redeemed at Calvary. So now, when I get into the message in a minute, don't flop over on me and make me say something I'm not saying. He paid the full price of sin at Calvary for all things, but he did not apply it. All was not applied on the day of Pentecost. He couldn't do that. I preached it to you over and over. He couldn't do that. Jesus Christ come to set up a kingdom and spoke of the Son of Man. spoke of his own kingdom until the people would say, let my son sit on one side of you, one of the other. He said, that's not for me to give. See, he didn't come to do that right then. That was not the day to do that. The prophet even got over on how can overcome. He said, see that? He said, that wasn't given then. He said, you got to wait until the test is given and then the people come that this will happen to. Right? But see, now what he was saying was, it wasn't all done at Calvary. You remember how he said the Jews was redeemed at Calvary? But he said it wasn't applied. That's in Daniel 70 weeks. All right, now we know then that Jesus paid for the redemption of the body. He paid for the redemption of the body. Right? But he didn't apply that. He only applied it to the soul because that's what he kept saying. I didn't come to do that now. I've come to make way for a kingdom to be set up, which would be the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come into the hearts of the saints at Pentecost. That would be the kingdom that he come to set up. But he said, I've not come to set mine up yet. It's going to be about 2,000 years before I can come back. See? To bring my kingdom into existence. But they said, well, teach us to pray. He said, I pray this way, our Father which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. See, looking to the Father, he said, thy kingdom come. Right. He wasn't setting up his own kingdom. Now, I've preached, some of you haven't heard that, but I've preached these things for years to you. That you should be able to just go down the line and say, right, you know, as it's going along, and then you'll see what I'm heading to. Right? But see, it wasn't all applied on the day of Pentecost. It was only applied to the soul of man by the new birth. Right? Then that put him where? The Father's strong. Where did the prophet say that lamb come from? In Revelation 5, page 97 of the seal book, he said, he come from the Father's strong. Get on page 9 of the Mighty God Unveiled and see if he didn't, and I've preached it over and over to you in sermon after sermon, that see, he was Son of God down through seven church ages. The prophet said he's Son of God through seven church ages, but he said right in the last he returns to be the Son of Man. That's not a different God. That's only showing you something's going to take place here in the end time. Right? He's going to come back to what now have we been on for so long? What have I been trying to get you to see? Same ministry. The prophet said that the same ministry that Jesus Christ had when he was on earth has to be here in the end time. Now, did he say them things? Do you need me to preach that message over again? I gave you his words for it, not mine. Because I don't have a message. The message I have is what's delivered to me, that's revealed to me from what he says, then it becomes mine. Now it belongs to me. All right? That's the way you're supposed to think it. A woman one day received a seed. It didn't belong to her. But once it was planted within her, the Bible even called it the seed of the woman. Why? It was given unto her, which was Jesus Christ. See, that's the way I take the message. It was Brother Brown's message, but once God reveals it to me, that's mine.
Amen.
That's my message then.
Right.
Why? Because it belongs to me.
Right.
God give it to me.
Right.
By revelation. All right, now. So then when we come to Revelation 5, now, is anybody lost there to what I'm trying to say? Calvary, let me repeat it because I don't mind doing that. No. Calvary, the sin debt was paid.
Right.
We're not looking in the last days for God to come back again in a human vessel to die to redeem our bodies and things like that. Because the corporal body of Jesus Christ does not come to the earth until the millennial reign. See? As I tell you, even the Jews saying, where'd you get the nail prints in your hand? That's not a physical being standing by that they can look at and see that. That's through the prophets that bring the message, the two witnesses. See? He doesn't come in the last days to die. That's why I said that. That's why I'm using Leviticus. See, Leviticus 16, that's Calvary. That was the death. That was the atonement that was made. See? They killed one goat, put the blood on the other goat, turned the goat away, because the prophet didn't say that. He said, see what he done? He said, dead, buried, and resurrected. And he said, and carried my sins away. You know, singing the song. Because that's what happened at Calvary. But everything wasn't applied at Calvary. That's why there's been so much trouble down through the ages. There's never been a message to come forth, no matter where you brought it. The prophet said on the Feast of the Trumpets, I just read it a few minutes ago, he said, see, that Holy Ghost has been bound for 2,000 years. He said, they could not come all the way out. Now, he didn't say for 1,500 years and that they're out at Pentecost. Now, listen, he didn't say that they was free at Pentecost and was out and everything else. He said it had been bound for 2,000 years. You mean the Holy Ghost, Brother Dale, working on the day of Pentecost and all of that great book of Acts, the Holy Ghost wasn't free? That's what he said. I didn't have enough sense to figure that out. Because I thought it was. But come to find out in him, the Holy Ghost had been bound. Why? It couldn't come out enough to redeem the bodies of Peter, James, and John, and Paul and them. It couldn't make manifest. Now, see, it was paid for. It was paid for. The great prophecies made by Paul changed in a moment, a twinkle of an eye, but he never attained unto that. He never reached that place to be changed. Great things have happened in the Bible there. But yet the prophet said the Holy Ghost would be loosed. Now, how did he say it'd be loosed in the Feast of the Trumpet? If you've read it, you know what I'm saying. He said it'd be loosed by the end time message. This end time message is to loose the Holy Ghost. If you don't believe I'm right, Brother Dick talking about it yesterday night, then some of them talking now Saturday, I thought, y'all better shut up. And Brother Dick said, I was reading there and got over Revelation 5. You read the last verse of Revelation 5 and see what it talks about. Worship. Worship. This is a time of worship. You and I ought to be worshiping every moment of the day and night. Shouting and praising God for what he's done and what he's doing. See? We used to praise him for what he's done, but the prophet said you can get tied up looking back and looking forward. And he said, miss what's going on. See? This is a time of the rejoicing time. The great things that have happened. Look at the message we've had. See? But it's like Brother Theo said. He said, you look at them sisters sitting there and said, they say, oh, I'm free. I'm glad the message come and I'm free. Sad, you know. Now, that's not free. You got a mental thought in your head. Free is like Sister Janice was when that day she... They told her, said, you acting like Martin Luther. Sister Janice one day at the house, she saw what had went on, and she started jumping up and down, running all over the house, hollering, I'm free! I'm free! I'm free! And they told her, said, you're acting like Martin Luther. She said, well, that's what I'm feeling. I'm free. She had been bound and didn't know it. She said, well, hell, I'm not bound. I dare say most of you wouldn't go to the ball game and be as quiet as you are right now, but that's all right with me because, see, I know that inside, I'm not an emotional person like a lot of people are. And I hope to God that that hadn't rubbed off on you because I am inside. What's inside of me is right now boiling to try to tell you something that if I can get to it by Wednesday night, I want this, when it comes, when I finish this message, only these people of this church will get the last message on this. Hallelujah. It will not be let out to the public. Glory. I forbid you to release the last message. I've been driving at it now for months. Something God showed me and it will not go to the public because it's not to them. But we ought to be free, church.
Yes. Right.
You don't have to holler amen to me. I don't mean that. But I mean if there's something inside of you, it's going to bubble.
Right. Come on.
And you can see the day you're living and where you're at. We're down here at the time when God has come to redeem the bodies.
Right.
Now, not redeem it like I told you. I don't know how to say what I want to say. He redeemed it at Calvary, but he did not apply it at Calvary.
Amen.
Why are we dying if he did?
Come on.
He redeemed the soul at Calvary. It's not dying.
Come on.
There has not been one person that received the Holy Ghost from Pentecost until now that their soul has ever died. You know what I'm saying? Once they receive that Holy Ghost, you can't kill it. Well, that just means that's showing that someday the body's going to follow that.
Right.
This is the day.
Right.
This is the time. This is the hour that we're living.
Amen.
The time to where their bodies will be redeemed. Now, let's go back about a couple of dozen sermons for a minute. See if you got what I was talking about. The prophet said on 761, Revelation chapter 5, book 15. He says Revelation 5 is not a verse by verse happening.
Right.
He said it is a scene preparing for the opening of the seven seals. Now that's what he said. He said it's a scene preparing for the opening. He said it's not a verse by verse happening. So it's a scene. What is that scene? Read Revelation 5 and see what it is. What is that scene? It's not the re-killing. It's not Leviticus of the re-killing. It's a time when the people are returned to the original atonement of Calvary. The original revelation. That's why the message will loose the Holy Ghost when the bride is returned to the original atonement of Calvary. Well, Brother Dale, I believed in Calvary all my life. Well, not as a Baptist, I believed in Calvary. And then come out with three persons. Now, how'd you do that? Huh? Now, come on, how'd you do that? How'd you come out with God in three persons if you believed in Calvary? See what I'm saying? We say, I believe in them things. But has God revealed it unto us? See, everybody said, I believe we're in the last days. But why is preachers in this message stashing money in Swiss bank accounts? What's the difference in that? And the prophet said, when he was here, he said, you say you believe the Lord's coming and building multi-million dollar buildings. And he said, there ain't nothing wrong with building them. But he said, what are you doing? He said, you're proving that you don't believe it. Nothing wrong with money. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what it is. What's going on for the day we're living? Let's recognize our day. We recognize the message. Now let's recognize that the day we're living is right here. This is our time, see? Now listen to what I'm saying. Then Revelation 5 is not a verse by verse happening. It's a scene preparing for something to happen. Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you to really listen to it. Because this is what I've been driving at for quite a while. Then your mind, some of you, if you've really been listening, it'll go all the way back to the sermon and come up. But if it don't, I'll try my best to bring the rest of us that away. Revelation 5 is not to say just Calvary.
Right.
Revelation 5 is not Calvary.
Come on.
Now don't misunderstand that.
Right.
Calvary made the way for Revelation 5. But there's 2,000 years between Calvary and Revelation 5. Calvary was the original atonement that was made according to Leviticus 16. Revelation 5 is a revealing of what happened at Calvary, but bringing it down to our time where that we can see it according to Leviticus 23 and see the original atonement. Leviticus 23 is the revealing or the returning back to the original atonement for the Jews that they rejected, right?
Amen. That's right.
Because he was killed in Leviticus 16. That's not a re-killing, the prophet said. He said it's a revealing of the original atonement. He said under the message of the hour, we return to the original atonement. Is that right? We lost the original atonement. Come down through Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. Still didn't get back to the original atonement. You know, the revelation of the atonement. But under the message of Malachi 4, Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7, the end time message, we come back through Brother Brown's message to the original atonement or the revealing of the atonement. Now listen, I've been driving at this for a long time. Listen to me. At least you'll know what I believe. I don't ask you to believe it. I ask you to listen. Then go home and pray about it and say, what is being said? See, there was something about Calvary back there that was not made known back there other than prophecies or things that Paul would say or Peter or some of them would prophesy of an end time, but yet it was not made manifest. The redemption of the body was not applied back there. It wasn't applied to it. Like the redemption of Israel was not applied there. It's still not applied. They still got a veil over their heart. Is that what Paul said?
Right.
He said, until this day. Could we have a veil over our heart until this day? That as we read the prophet's message, we still can't see what's going on?
Amen, amen.
He didn't teach us of a day to come or a day back there or whatever. He taught us to believe what we are, Hebrews 13:8, walking each day.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See? Church, I'm wanting you to see something now. Look. Revelations 5, verse 5 and 6 gives you a description of a crucified lamb, not a lamb on Calvary.
Come on.
This lamb came from Calvary.
Right.
That was where he was crucified. But he come down through seven church ages. And as I said, then because of Moses setting up the top of the smiting of the rock, he had to be crucified again in the last days. Not the re-killing. Jesus wasn't took out and crucified. It's the Word that's crucified.
Right. Amen.
See? It's the Word that's put out of the church today.
Right.
Not the Holy Spirit.
Right.
They want it.
Right.
See?
That's the deal.
It's a crucifixion then. And as it's put out, then the Bible says, for let's go. Does it say that in the Bible? Let's go beyond the camp. Suffering the reproach of Christ. In other words, if he's outside the church, we need to be outside the church.
Amen. That's right.
You know that I heard of a man in this supposed to claim to believe this message one time. He has church in his home. I kind of giggled at it a little, not making fun of him, just kind of giggled at our stupidity. He has church at home. You know why? Because he don't call it a church. See?
Oh my.
He said Jesus is put out of the church. So if you got a Lula church or a Gainesville church or Branham Tabernacle, that's a church. So he has church in his home. See? Because Jesus is out of the church. Well, that may be true. You know. But somewhere there's a gathering of people that is a bride.
Right.
I just kind of contend maybe we're part of it.
Come on,
yeah.
Amen.
All right. But now listen to what I'm saying, Massey. Revelation 5 shows you a lamb slain. Not one being slain. That happened 2,000 years ago. Revelation 5 shows you a lamb that has already been slain. And he comes forth. Now you remember last Sunday when I was trying to get it? I said, that's a funny looking lamb. Very odd looking lamb in Revelation 5. There's no description in the Bible anywhere like that description of a lamb. That lamb has seven horns and seven eyes. See? That lamb, the prophet said, come from seven church ages. The Father's throne.
Right.
Now he said that's where it come from.
Right.
See, we're seeing something about the revealing of the Word.
Right.
See? See, Calvary, he died and rose. But now, what's he come forth to do in the last days? He comes forth to reveal what he has already done. See? And how's he doing it now? As I said, now he's doing it. The prophet said, this is not a verse by verse happening. He said, this is a scene of something preparing to happen. He's fixing to open the seals.
Right.
Now listen, church. That lamb come from those seven church ages. This lamb we're reading about. The Old Testament had seven church ages, right?
Right.
I can't place them, but that's what the prophet said. He said there were seven church ages in the Old Testament that gave birth to a lamb. Yeah. He said there's seven church ages in the New Testament. It's going to have to give birth to a lamb.
Right.
What about your Christian experience?
Listen.
Well, Brother Dale, Brother Branham done come and preached the seals to us and glory, Jesus died at Calvary. That didn't make me saved.
Listen.
Come on. That didn't make me saved. That's Baptist doctrine to the core.
Right.
The Baptists say, I know I got the Holy Ghost, it come 2,000 years ago. Well, what's that got to do with it?
Right.
The Antichrist come 2,000 years ago, it'd make it just as much him.
Right.
But it's when it becomes a personal experience to you,
right,
then Calvary is not, now listen, I got it in here in a minute and I'll get to it. Calvary is eternal.
Right. Amen. Right.
Our minds will never leave Calvary. When we leave this world and get on the other side, we'll still remember Calvary.
Right.
Why? Because Calvary's eternal.
Right.
Now, you got any problems with me putting 2,000 years between two places?
No.
Have you got problems with putting 2,000 years between where Jesus died?
Hallelujah.
And come down here to reveal what he done?
Come on.
But not to reveal it down through those ages?
Come on.
Slowly letting out the mystery as it come forth from Christ's mystery, but not revealing it until he's already done it.
Come on.
Amen.
Right. Amen. Listen, Revelation 5 is not a picture of Calvary.
Come on.
But it's a picture of what can take place because of Calvary.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
It's showing you what takes place because of Calvary. In the last days, we see something take place. A prophet is told, go to Tucson, Arizona. Be at a certain place. You know, now he didn't even know exactly, but he was told where he'd be in that way. But he said, go to that place. And what happened? He met seven angels. And he come back to Jeffersonville to preach those seven seals. Okay? 2,000 years between the time that Jesus done it and the time he's going to reveal what he done. Come on, that's the difference in it. 2,000 years between that Calvary and the time that he actually reveals through a prophet the opening of all the Word, showing us the revelation of the Word, and where Christ is now revealed to us, showing us what has happened. Coming from seven church ages is where this lamb comes. The Lamb of Revelation 5 comes from seven church ages. He don't come from, watch it now, he don't come from Calvary to say Calvary. He comes from seven church ages that's had Calvary. Calvary brought this Lamb into existence. But it never existed as far as to show to any man until the end time when a prophet would step forth with a revelation from that Word. I know I'm hollering today, but it's something to holler about.
Amen.
I guess digging under the church got me stirred up a little bit. But I sat back there, I thought while I was working on it, I thought, Lord, that little room right there where Brother Dean and them sitting out in that little corner there, that little old place when it was run this way, and I was on that thinking about it, and I've seen God just come down and speak and do and see from that little room. But listen, church, it's a different church now from the little room we started. Not a different God, not a different message, not anything different. It's just come down to something different now. We get down here to the revealing of what will take place.
Right.
Brother Moat come out here one day and he said, Brother Dale, I just got it in that little room. He said, this is the last message. He said, now it don't mean the last message to be preached or anything like that. He said, no telling how long we'll have to preach. But he said, this is the new creation, new race.
Blessed.
And I said, amen. And I still believe that today. When we realize, the prophet said, who we are.
Right.
Who are we? We're the people at the end of all things has come upon. We're the people to be revealed, the opening of all the word. We're the people that catches something that they couldn't even catch in the book of Acts.
Right.
Something that where we can walk off the earth, that they could only speak of it. See? So then Revelation 5, that's not a picture of Calvary, because he's already slain.
Right.
Revelation 5 shows him already slain.
Right. Right.
Shows him coming with his church.
Right.
Because that picture there is showing him in a bride form. Listen to the prophet. He said, seven horns, seven eyes. He said, that's the seven spirits of God sent forth. He said, because there ain't seven spirits. He said, that's the Holy Ghost down through seven church ages.
Right.
Where did this lamb come from?
Right.
The prophet in the seal book, where I give you that, about 97. He said, there he comes. He said, he's been back in eternity making intercession.
Amen.
But he said, now he comes from behind the throne. He said, coming around, coming to take the book.
Right.
See? What's he doing? He's revealing Jesus Christ in form now that has never been revealed.
Right. Amen. Hallelujah.
It was never revealed at Calvary what he would do in the redemption of the body.
Right.
It was told that he'd do it because they prophesied of it.
Right.
But it was never made manifest. Now he's coming to take off the veil from our heart.
Right. Amen.
To show us it's already done.
Right.
See?
Yes.
In our day, our time.
Come on.
Right? See, then Calvary was to redeem, sure. But now he comes to claim what he's already redeemed. He ain't coming in the last days to redeem.
Right.
He's coming to claim the rest that goes around what he redeemed at Calvary.
Amen.
You know, what was made manifest at Calvary was when the Holy Ghost came into the heart of man to redeem his soul. Now he's coming to redeem his body.
Come on.
We ain't getting a new body.
Right.
So that's why people don't believe that. They say, oh, we're going to get a new body. Now, everybody says that don't mean it the same way. But I know what we used to mean by it.
Right.
We used to believe Jesus' blood wasn't sufficient to take care of this body. So I had to get me a new one.
Come on. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right.
But we found out from the message that the world's not made. When it says a new creation, it doesn't mean he's going to destroy and make another.
Right.
He's going to take what's here and redeem it. This body's going to be redeemed.
Amen.
Because already was at Calvary. He's just coming now to apply it.
Right.
Where do we get down here in a minute and just think? Well, let's see if I can find it in my mind. You think of that lamb coming from that Old Testament.
Come on.
That Old Testament gave birth to a lamb.
Right.
You say, well, Brother Dale, we can't do it. We can't give birth to a lamb. Look how rotten and stinking this stuff is. Look back at the Old Testament, how rotten and stinking that was.
Right. Oh, my.
Until God couldn't find nothing among them worth anything.
Come on.
He had just about gone by the time it come to the place that he could even grab a little virgin, the only person in the world that he could get to bring forth a lamb.
Right.
Was one little virgin woman. Hardly a handful of believers when he walked on the earth here with them. Finally wound up to be 12, and one of them was the devil walking with him.
Amen.
That's right. Yeah. Do you see what I'm talking about? Look at, take the opposite side of it. Look at that lamb coming from Abraham that gave away his wife and lied.
Come on. Amen.
Yeah. Look at that lamb coming from a David that would take a man's wife away from him and have him killed.
Right.
He said, Brother Dale, that didn't come from there. Them people was there,
right,
and they was the word.
Right.
You know why it come? Because he promised it.
Right.
You know why he's going to end it all up in the right day? He promised he'd do it. It ain't how good me and you are. The prophet said he won't send a headstone because of our marriage. But he said he'll send it because he promised it.
Amen.
Then quit thinking about that we ain't capable of doing it.
Right.
I know we ain't.
Right.
Neither are they.
Right.
But he done it.
Hallelujah.
He done it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Had to borrow a womb to come through.
Right.
Listen. From the Father's throne spirit down through seven church ages. That's where this Lamb comes from. That's why he looks like he looks.
Right.
That's why he's got seven horns and seven eyes. Because he come from those seven church ages.
Come on.
You remember me one time asking you back yonder a long time ago? I said, if God needed somebody to go to Patmos, could he take me and you? You remember that? Well, I'm glad he found one man he could take.
Right.
He took John over there and showed it to him. And see, I'm glad that he promised that he'd send a prophet because he found a man then in the last days that he could reveal what he had done. This man was no different than any other man. Neither was John. But it was the promise. This man tried to smoke. This man tried to drink. This man tried all of these things. This man tried to kill himself. He took a gun one day, stuck it in the head, and it wouldn't fire. He turned around one day, took his glove off, reached up to grab a line on a fire pole. And God wouldn't let him. Why? He promised him. It's a promise. Quit looking at your faults and failures. Start looking at Calvary.
Right.
Then bring Calvary down here where we are.
Come on.
Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags in the sight of God.
Right.
But through his righteousness imparted to me, I'm just as righteous as he is by the new birth. So it's what he done, not what I've done. But now listen, he's changing his form. You know the message of Immorphe? How it's not a different God. Did Jehovah, the Old Testament, change his form and came in a form called Jesus Christ?
Right.
See, then he walked on the earth here.
Right.
And at Pentecost, the Son of Man died. Not the Son of God, because you can't kill the Son of God. But the Son of Man, the human vessel, died at Calvary to release the Son of God.
Right.
That it could come down through seven church ages it's been Son of God.
Right.
But in the last days, we're promised to come back to Luke 17:30
right.
when the Son of Man is to be revealed.
Come on.
Right? And what God done in a prophet, he's going to do in a bride.
Yes. Amen.
Because the bride becomes the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Right.
See, then what's it coming to? What is Revelation 5 showing you? This Lamb that has seven horns and seven eyes is going to come from the church.
Come on.
Do you realize what I'm saying? Do you realize that it'll have to come from our experience of Jesus Christ?
Right.
Come on, it'll have to come from the Holy Ghost you have.
Yes. Yes, amen.
Have you got a lamb to take the book for you?
Yes.
If you have, it'll come from your own experience of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It'll have to come from your revelation. Brother Brown said, this is my revelation of it. Why? Because he had an experience with Jesus Christ. He had the Son of God in the manifestation. He had that living in his heart, and it come to a place that the Son of Man could be revealed to him.
Yes.
Where? From his own experience.
Right.
I preached to you before how the prophet, you know what I mean, when he got over there, I could read that first seal. He said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand. And he said, there goes a white horse rider. He said, thereby it's got to be the Antichrist.
Right.
He said, because my revelation of it, the Lamb, the Holy Ghost, the Father and all, he said, that's the self-same spirit.
Amen.
Right? What was he saying? In my Christian experience, I stand here today.
Right. Amen. I believe
with a revelation of one God.
Hallelujah.
and I see another person going away from what I believe. He said, so it's got to be the devil.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, no scholar could pick that up, even though some of them taught it that way.
Come on.
Some of them taught that why horse riding was the Antichrist.
Right.
But they didn't see it that way because they're still Trinitarian themselves.
Right.
But when he stood there with that revelation, he saw that riding right off. When me and you come to the revelation of our own personal experience, we'll see the devil having to leave.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes,
you'll see him riding away from you.
Come on. Amen.
I tell you what, sometimes it's pretty slow, but he'll ride away.
Right.
But now listen. See, from the Father's strong spirit, Holy Ghost, throughout seven church ages, comes a lamb.
Hallelujah.
That walks forth to take the book. What is that? That's when he comes from Son of God to Son of Man.
Right.
See? Same ministry.
Come on.
Now do I have to re-preach all that? Same ministry. He's got to have, the bride is going to have the same ministry.
Right.
What is the opening of the word? The revealing of the seal is to reveal Jesus Christ. Is that 45 of it's the rising of the sun? What are these seals? These are the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's it showing? Of Jesus Christ down through seven church ages, but then one day comes out to be what? The Son of Man. Now catch that this afternoon. We're going back to page one on that first drawing over there this evening.
Amen.
In a bride.
Amen. Come on.
That's what I've been driving at for a year or two now.
Come on.
To try to get you to see something. Me too, at the same time. But now listen. See, in our day is not the killing.
Right.
Our day is not the killing of the lamb.
Right.
Just as Leviticus 23 is not the killing of the lamb.
Right.
Leviticus 23 is the revealing of the lamb back to the original atonement. Leviticus 16 is the killing of the lamb.
Come on.
Calvary was the killing of the lamb.
Come on.
Revelation 5 is the time to see the original atonement restored. Where? In the bride.
Amen.
But he's not shown in Revelation 5 as a one person like Jesus Christ.
Right.
You don't see that in the book of Revelations.
Right.
Show me one scripture in the book of Revelation that brings him to one person. The first thing you see is when John gets in Revelation 1. See, because he's done united with his church at Pentecost.
Right.
He'll never be separated.
Right.
So what he's shown from then on, he'll be shown in his bride.
Right.
John gets over to Revelation 1 and he said, and I heard a voice and I turned to see the voice.
Right, amen.
And what did he see? Seven golden candlesticks. He saw the church. Jesus Christ in bride form is what he saw. Because he'll never be separated no more. He done that at Pentecost. He come and joined himself.
Right, amen.
Now he's coming forth to show us the original atonement. We're not just looking back at Calvary. We see the true revelation of what took place at Calvary.
Amen.
See, the atonement was made, and the end time message comes to turn us back to the original atonement.
Yes,
that's what it does. That's what the end time message is for. It returns us to the original atonement.
Yes,
turn us back to the original revelation of Jesus Christ. See? Then in Revelation 5, did the prophet say Christ the mystery of God revealed? I believe it's page 75. He said, she's part of the mystery.
Right.
Talking about the bride.
Yes.
And said, she's got to be revealed.
Right.
See what's happening in the last days. The prophet said, when she realizes who she is, who's being revealed in the last days? Him in her.
Right.
2,000 years ago was revealing him in Jesus.
Right.
The human vessel.
Right.
Now it's revealing the same God.
Right.
The same ministry.
Right.
The same life.
Right.
The same everything. Now I'm quoting the prophet. Where it would see Jesus Christ. No wonder it comes to verse 14 in Revelation 5 and you come to worship because you're rejoicing over what you see. And that lamb come forth and took the book and they seen that he had redeemed. They went to rejoicing.
Come
Now that's in heaven. You know what we've been on?
Amen.
And what's what I'm saying? Here's a question. You say, Brother Dale, where did the Lamb come forth to take the book?
Amen.
Was it at Calvary or in the end time? See, I'm asking you a question. Where did the Lamb come forth to take the book? Was it at Calvary or was it in the end time? Okay, now. See, just as Leviticus 16 and Leviticus 23, both speak of the atonement.
Right.
That's not two different things.
Right.
All
right? Right.
Both speaks of the atonement, but one of them speaks of the original atonement, the other one speaks of the return to the original atonement.
All right?
See, then at Calvary, Jesus took the book.
Right.
The book of redemption. He took it at Calvary.
Right.
All right? But he didn't reveal what he'd done.
Right.
See?
Amen.
He revealed what they needed for the time. What was to be made known was there. He had already preached six seals in Matthew 24.
Amen.
He didn't reveal that to his church on the day of Pentecost. He revealed what he wanted for the time. Now he's coming to what? Take the book. Why? Because the book had to be complete before it could be taken.
Right.
And we are the book. Now, how many sermons did I preach on that? It's not a Scofield Bible or Thompson Chain.
Right.
And the one I'm talking about that he come to take ain't got Judas written in it.
Come on, sir. Amen.
Right.
Come on.
Because it's the book of redemption. He didn't redeem Judas. He paid Judas. He paid the price, but Judas wouldn't have it.
Right.
Yeah. My name's not in there if I won't have it.
Come on.
But if I'll have the redemption, he come to redeem me because my name's in there.
Come on.
Huh? But are you following me now?
Come on.
See, the book had to be complete before he could take it and then reveal what he'd done. So he had to wait until the book come. You get what I'm saying? He had to wait until the people come. And when it came to the seventh church age, you say, yeah, but some of these children wasn't even born when Brother Branham was here. That ain't got nothing to do with it.
Right.
So you're looking at the wrong thing.
Right.
We're in the seventh age where the prophet was come forth.
Come on.
It don't matter whether they're born after he was here or before he's here or whatever he was here.
Right. Amen.
See? It's his message.
Right.
Amen. The message is what's coming forth. That's why it says in Revelation 10, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. It didn't say in the days when the man is on the earth. It says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. It's in the time of the message, not of the man, because I done preached it to you. There he stands, page 74 of the seal book, said the seventh angel's on earth at the time of this coming of Revelation 10:7. But then he turned around, he said, and then there's a coming time, a time to reveal. That's in our day. That's where we are now, see? See, the Lamb came from the Father's throne to take the book. Page 25, souls in prison. Read about 24 through 26 of souls in prison and see what the prophet said. There's some statements in there that are outstanding and I could preach on the rest of the afternoon. But he says, actually, he come forth, took the book, climbed up on the throne, and sat down.
Amen.
Now, that's what the prophet said.
That's right.
See? When Jesus Christ took the book, he didn't just leave it there. He climbed up on the throne and said, I am. That's where he reveals, because only the Father can reveal.
Right.
Jesus said, I can't reveal nothing to you.
Right.
So it all had to come to the actual plate till it come down to finally, all the Amorphis finally what finalized in one sitting on the throne in Revelation 5. With the book in his hand, because that Lamb climbed right up on that throne just as well as everything, every other manifestation was sitting there. If you can see it that way, you got one God. You're not a Trinitarian then.
Right.
See? You're not a oneness. See, the Lamb come from the Father's throne to take the book.
Amen.
Produced by the church.
Yes, sir.
See? Because the Lamb had seven horns and seven eyes. See? The Lamb was shown in a church symbol, not in a one human body symbol. If it showed you one human body symbol, it would have been maybe shown as a symbiote, but it would have just been a lamb. He'd have had two horns. He'd have had two eyes. He'd have had four legs. But now it's shown in a church form. He's got seven horns. He's got seven eyes. Why? Because it's church form. Where'd he come in the last day? Church form. Now here's what I got. See, it's showing it wasn't back there. See, it's down here because to me, Calvary is eternal.
Right. Amen.
I've never quit partaking of Calvary myself.
Hallelujah.
It happened 2,000 years ago. I wasn't there.
Hallelujah.
But when that come to a place that I seen what it was,
you were there.
Then I was there.
Amen.
Praise God. See, you was there.
Amen.
We was all there.
Amen.
Why? Because we was in Christ.
Right. Amen.
Not because I was a physical being walking on the earth and got up on the throne with him or across either one. It was in Christ Jesus, that Holy Ghost, that he had in there to release to come into us.
Come on.
Amen. Because it's eternal. But now listen. Does our experience match what is shown in Revelation 5? See, now that's the main point of the message. I want to ask you, does our experience match? See, that's what I was getting to when I said that a while ago. Can the Lamb come from seven church ages? I'm asking you a question. I got it written out. Question. Can the Lamb come from seven church ages? You say, yeah, but I said a while ago now. You say, but Brother Dale, we can never get to that place. We can't never get to the place that we can do this. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. We can never get to the place to bring a lamb. Mary didn't have anything to do with it. All she was a vessel that said, be it unto me according to thy word. And let's go back to spoken words, original seed. He said, when a bride begins to say, be it unto me according to thy word, what did he say? He said, sparks will fly. Read it and see. He said, sparks will fly when she says that.
Right.
Why? Because she ain't got nothing to do with it.
Come on.
She ain't got a thing in the world to do with it.
Amen.
See? Every time I come to that point, I come back to that dream I had years ago.
Oh,
when I saw a woman turn into a man. In a car with me and Brother Morton, we were traveling. And that man turned to that driver of that car and he pointed at me and he said, you do exactly what that man says for you to do. And I looked at Brother Moat and he was confused. There wasn't nothing wrong with Brother Moat, he just confused. I don't think he was lost, I think he's just confused. Because
right.
That's what I saw. I told him then of the dream what I saw. I believe he was a saved man, but I believe he got confused.
Right.
I wanted to tell the family that a long time ago, but I couldn't. I believe he was saved, but I believe he's confused.
Right.
But see, when I saw that, I saw a woman in a car with me and him, and she turned into a man. Now you tell me if that ain't scriptural.
Right.
The bride turns into the bridegroom. Makes them one.
Come on.
Does the Bible say that in the last days the moon would be as the light of the sun and the sun would be sevenfold? There's no way this natural world could stand the sun being raised a degree of the earth 2 degrees. It causes catastrophe.
Right.
But it's not talking of a natural thing.
Right.
He's talking of Jesus Christ. When the bride and Christ becomes one,
amen.
The sun and the moon becomes one.
Right.
Yes, amen.
When it does, that's a woman turning into a man because we're going to be the Son of Man upon the earth.
Right.
Living in the last days.
Right.
Which is Jesus Christ upon the earth.
Amen.
So he's shown as a lamb.
See? Right.
See, I got on here, explain. So you'd say, well, we can't do it. We're too bad. Take the Old Testament and show me how they could produce Jesus Christ.
Right.
Take the Old Testament and show me how they could do it with David's faults and failures, with Abraham's lying, with all of the things that happened. Show me how they could do that. You mean the prophet even come along when he's talking about Hagar and Sarah and bringing it down, she didn't understand Hagar, but you know he come over to Sarah and he said the promise even started with a doubt.
Right. Amen.
Now that's his words. He said it started with a doubt. Read Masterpiece and see.
Right.
See, it's not out with a shut. Read it. He said it started with a doubt. Sarah doubted God's promise.
Right.
But Abraham didn't.
Come on.
Abraham didn't doubt. Why? God promised it.
Come on.
And the Bible said he counted him.
It was to him.
See? He counted, the Bible said Abraham counted it to him as to be the one that could make the promise, could make it come to pass. Me and you ain't got no hope to the natural out here to bring Christ.
Right.
But this Lamb of Revelation 5 to go to Israel, now I'll get to that this evening a little more. This Lamb to go to Israel comes from the bride.
Amen. I believe it.
It's got to come from this bride, True Seven Church Ages. Right. That's what the prophet said. That's not my message. That's what he said.
I believe it.
But this day I see that, so I don't worry about it. It's become mine.
Amen.
I'm just trying to get you to see what's in me.
Amen.
Can you see that a church could give birth to Christ?
Amen. Come on.
You think Luther was worth anything? Drinking beer, sitting in a pub, smoking a pipe? We don't agree with that, do we?
Come on, man.
We'd look at him and say, well, it don't look like he's even too good of a Christian.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it wasn't what he was, it's what God promised.
Right.
God had done said in his word, there'd be two little churches come up, didn't he?
Come on. Yes, sir.
He done said in his word, I will restore.
Right.
What the cankerworm, the locust, and the caterpillar is eating away, I'll restore it back. He promised it.
Right.
He's not going to send anything on mine and your little goody merits.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God it falls apart.
He's going to send it on his word that he promised.
Amen.
Church, can I help it? I know what I've been called. For trying to stand for this message, I've been called an intellectual, I've been called everything, all because I wanted to try to get the message to the people.
And
that wasn't me.
Right.
If that had been me, I'd have quit a long time ago, and I tried to. But something kept coming inside of me. Go on, bring the message, somebody will believe it somewhere. When I walk totally by myself at times. So lonely until, you've never been lonely until you got something in your heart you'd like for people to see and can't get nobody to see it. You've never been lonely till you do that. Everybody in the world turn against you, your wife, your family, everything turn against you. You're not lonely. I think about that prophet when he walked out of there, as Brother Theo said the other day about the future home. Brother Branham, they said, come out there and told Billy Paul, he said, I can count on my hands how many seen what I was talking about. What about a man carrying a message like that? It wasn't a man, it was God in the man.
Right.
The man would have quit a long time before then. He said, I got a complex.
Come on.
Look at him when he got over there standing in the gap. He said, I got a complex. He said, I'd like to go out in the woods and just go up there and say, just stomp out of the woods and say, thus saith the Lord, and go back. He said, but God won't let me. God won't let me, he said. He wanted to. But see, the message is the thing. Because somebody's going to believe it.
Right.
Somebody's going to believe it. And somebody's going to make it manifest. I've always said it. I'd just like to be there someday to see.
Right.
If I miss it, I just want God just one time, if he'll just open up hell just a minute if I'm there. And I know I deserve it, and you do too.
Right.
But if he'll open them doors just a minute and let me look,
right,
then it won't matter if he burned me a billion years. If I can just see that little bride walking forth in the glory, then I look at it and I say, well there's old Brother Collie. I had something to do with him.
Yes.
There's old Brother Tom. I had something to do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I stand out there the other day talking to Brother Daisley about it. I've bragged about it all over the country. I said, I've got karate third degrees, black belts, brown belts, I've got boxers, I've got everything in my church. I said, they're fighting for the Lord now. They put all that they had into the Lord now, and they done away with all them other things. That to me is the greatest honor I could think of. You couldn't give me nothing any greater than to realize that I could have a part to do with that.
Right. Amen.
That I could have a part of seeing these brothers change.
Come on.
Over and over, day by day, until it just molded into little Sister Peggy called them little pretty cats. You know.
Bless her. Hallelujah.
Come down to just
right.
Totally gone from all that. But you know what? He promised it.
Right.
He promised me a long time ago. You heard me tell it. I told us. I don't tell everything God tells me, but I tell some of it just to get you to see. But he said, you have patience with the people. He said, it'll prove you got patience. Well, I've tried to have it. Seeing and knowing this message has got to come out. See, Revelations 5 don't speak of Calvary, just the Calvary looking back there at Calvary. It speaks of a people that Calvary has become a living reality into their hearts and lives. Until it's everyday living.
Right.
We was down under the church yesterday just sweating like everything, just wringing wet with sweat and talking about the Lord. And just shoveling and just pitching dirt and just talking about the Lord, having a good time. Yeah. Why? Because, see, things has changed. But it's because He promised. Can you see our day? Brother Dick, go ahead and give us a song if you will. Can you see our day? See, our day is matching what we see in Revelations 5. Now, you getting what I've been trying to drive for a while? Matching pieces? I said, when it matches here, what we see there, we'll be gone. All right, what do we see here? What are we talking about here? Of church. Not this building, not this group of people here, but a church around the world that's making manifest Jesus Christ. Not because of anything in you and me, but because He promised us that He would send this unto us.
Right.
He promised to make known in the last days. But do you see what I'm saying? See, Revelations 5 is not just looking back there and seeing Calvary. It's seeing Calvary now. Calvary now has brought the Lamb.
Amen.
Where'd it come? From the church. You mean, Brother Dale, that the Lamb to take the book, that I've got something to do with it? That's what I'm trying my best to tell you. You mean I've got something to do with bringing this Lamb? That's exactly. Because that's where He comes. See, yeah, but Brother Branham has done it. And all. Sure, I know, because John, one man, was taken to heaven to represent the rapture, wasn't he?
Right.
Well, then one man was taken up in the last days to represent what a church would be.
Hallelujah.
Now, is that true?
Yes.
One man, Brother Branham, was taken up to do and to see and to speak and to bring unto you and me.
Right.
The opening of the entire word. We don't have to hunt another messenger. We don't have to hunt another nest. We're here. We're here at the opening of the Word, the Word that God is revealing to me and you. What He revealed to Brother Branham is wonderful. But like I said, don't get into Baptist doctrine. I'm not throwing off on Baptist. I ain't saying a word against nobody. I'm just telling the truth. We said we had the Holy Ghost, and you'd say, well, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Well, it come at Pentecost. Well, what did that matter? The prophet said, you say, well, we prospered. He said, prostitution went up last year. He said, does that mean God was in it? Now, that's his words. If you think I'm playing somehow, you ought to listen to him. That don't mean anything. That don't mean I got the Holy Ghost card that come on Pentecost or Azusa Street, either one. It means I've got the Holy Ghost when I receive the very person of Jesus Christ, which is that Holy Ghost within my heart. So is it with this message then. It's when the portion of the message that you and I are to receive becomes a living reality in our heart, then we can say, I and my Father are one. Then we can say we're in the message.
Amen.
The greatest honor that Brother Branham could have would be the day that he could introduce us to Jesus Christ. Is that his words? The greatest honor he could have, he said, if you love me, now listen to it, he said, if you love me, he said, do something good for my children, my family. And that's what he said one time. He said, if you love me, do something good for my family. Don't you think that's the way God feels? He said, if you love me, do something for my family. This shall all men know that you're my disciples by the love you have one for another. Give me love in this church to where that there's no parting between us except the love of Jesus Christ. The gifts and the signs and wonders will automatically follow that.
Right.
But give us love. Give us love. What was that we used to sing about? Give me joy in my heart. Joy in my heart. Go ahead, Brother Dick. Let's just sing a hymn. Let's stand together. If anyone has
number
a lead.
80 in the red book.
Number 80.
There's a blessed time
that's coming
soon.
It may be evening, morning, or at noon. The wedding of the bride united with the groom. We shall see the King when He comes. Will we? We shall see the King. We shall see the King. Brother Harris had a problem with his life.
We shall see the King.
It's settled. We don't pray.
He's coming in power. Oh,
we don't pray. We know. That's what come to me. He's walking down through there. I said, we don't have to pray. It's already done. He's
are you ready?
Up.
Should the Savior call today?
That's a problem. Anybody else?
Jesus say, well done.
You have a need, just come.
My home is
a boy on the way. He said he sent his word and healed
we
them.
We shall see
and
the
delivered
King
them.
When He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
Why won't we see Him?
We shall see the King.
Because the bride is what gives birth to the King.
He's coming in power. Oh, hail the blessed hour.
What about a glorious
we
thing?
We shall see the King when He comes.
That little Virgin Mary has been spoken of around the world.
Ready for the call.
She's been spoken of around the world.
Savior, King, and Lord of all.
Every nation in the world has read about the Virgin Mary. Why? Because one day she said it's
we
not
shall
my marriage.
See the King when He comes.
She didn't ask that. Angel said, well, what good could I do that would bring this?
We shall see the King.
She said, be it unto me according to thy word. The prophet said, you let the bride say that. He said, sparks will fly. When she realizes she ain't got nothing to do with it. But she's promised.
There's a blessed time.
When I read Revelation 5, that's a promise to me. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. If you can see here what's already over there,
the wedding
why are you worried?
United with the groom.
Why are we worried? Ain't nothing can stop us.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King.
Worship. When they come in Revelation 5, they come to worship. We shall see this way them eagles wing Brother Dave and him was talking about. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. He's coming in power. Hail the blessed hour. We're here. Not a day or a time or a season.
Are you ready? Should the Savior call today?
We're here to the finish of all things.
Would Jesus say, well done?
We're here to the promise.
My home is for the pure.
shall see the King. Just get the matching pieces.
We shall see.
I listen to that tape over and over. The mighty God unveiled.
We shall see the King.
He says the matching pieces. The matching pieces. Come into the place.
We shall see the King.
Come into the place to deliver the matching pieces.
Oh, my brother, I'm
when I rise
for the call.
What's that?
To crown your Savior, Lord, and King of all.
In Christ,
the kingdoms of this world, that's to be we shall see the King.
Sing it unto you, worship. Just turn around and shake hands with one another.
We shall see the King.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes.
He's
coming in power. We'll have a blessed hour.
We shall see the King when He comes.
We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall see the King when He comes. You're dismissed. You're singing to one another.
Oh, hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when He comes. We shall see the King. We shall see the King. We shall.